Today we go and continue with Ihya Ulumuddin, and unfortunately the topic is such that some people would accuse me of repeating and repeating the same thing, but I personally feel that it, especially for us, this is extremely important, and the amount of emphasis given to it in religious literature, especially Islamic literature, is immense. Though we may sort of think that we are immune from it, let me put it to you, none of us are immune to it. In fact, most of us are suffering from it. And as is with akhlaq, I mean, akhlaq is not for judging others. Obviously, in the world, you have to judge others. You have to have friends, you have to have partners, you have to have this, and you have to judge others. And you have to judge others according to what you see of them. And that is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge on the day of Qiyamah. Allah is going to judge according to, as we say, the niyyah, what is in the heart. We have to judge according to the actions. But akhlaq, when we learn akhlaq, we are not trying to judge others. We are not trying to say whether he is good or bad. We are trying to improve ourselves. As far as ourselves are concerned, everybody is aware of himself or herself, and they can judge according to their niyyah. So akhlaq is for improving yourself. And it is only you who can sort of judge yourself and know exactly how you behave and how what you are doing and why you are doing what you are doing. So that we must remember that here we are talking about personal things. I mean, things that you are totally aware. You and your Lord are aware of what you are doing. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more aware than what we are doing than we are doing. We are aware of ourselves. But we are aware of ourselves more than anybody else is. So here we are, when we learn akhlaq, we are talking about ourselves and improving ourselves rather than judging others and saying what he is doing or what others are doing. So that's why I think, though I have talked about this even yesterday or day before rather, we have to look at this, and this is the place where we have reached. And as Ghazali says, the cause of most of the vices is hubbud dunya. Now remember here what we are being said, though times it's being confused. Hubbud dunya is love of the worldly things. The Quran also is emphatic about this thing. That there are a lot of us whom hayatul dunya deceives us. We are beguiled by it. And also if you look at the Quran, the words used are for deception is one of them. Asar al hayat dunya. Those who prefer the world or the material world or this world over the other world. And so on and so forth. And in the hadith also, at times, for example, we find, and these are hundreds of, I mean it's not one hadith, they may not be very strong, some of them, but there are thousands of liars cannot sort of join together and sort of plan and say we are going to say the same thing. No, there must be some truth in it, even if they are liars. This is if we take that all the hadiths are wrong. If there are thousands of them coming from different chains, and they are all given by liars, even then, if millions of liars come and tell us the same thing, we are bound to sort of say, no, there must be some truth in it. So there is a lot of truth in it, in fact, not only some. That the primary cause of lot of evil is hubbud dunya. And this hadith is a warning. Now remember, the word used is hubbud dunya, is the love of the world, of this worldly material thing. Doesn't mean that possessing is. I mean, at times it is sort of said that the rich people are bad. The poor can be as much in love of the world as the rich are. I mean, let us not deceive ourselves or try to sort of say that if the grape, I mean, if we can't really get the grapes, they must be sour. No, they are not sour. We are poor, we may have more love than the rich. As it is, it's nice to relate something that was related to me by one of my teachers. He said there was a Sufi. Sufi, a wayfarer, who used to go from place to place, beg, and leave, sort of said, and they claim that they don't have any need for this world. And they usually have something, it's a bundle, with the tie, and all their possession is in this bundle. They carry it on a stick, at the end of a stick. He came to one of the big ulamas of the time, who was actually extremely wealthy, house, servants, this, that, very nice food. And he said, you claim that you are a religious person, whereas I, see, I mean, I don't claim anything, but look at me. I'm simple, all the sort of, I don't care about this worldly life, whereas you are caring so much. So the man said, what do you want me to do? He said, come with me and let's travel in the world. He said, okay, let's go. So he said, okay. So they both just on the spot got up and started walking. And they walked some distance, some while, and they needed a rest, so they sat down. And then the Sufi said, oh, we must go back. He said, what's wrong? Why do you want to go back? He said, because I have left my bundle in your house, and I can't go without my bundle. He said, look, brother, you told me that I was such. I've left my house, my servants, my everything, and I've come here, and I'm not telling you to go back. And you have left your bundle, and you want to go back? Who is more sort of in love with this world, I or you? It is not possessing the world which is being criticized. It is the love of the world which is being criticized. And if you look at it, that is the root cause of everything we have said. Hasad, hikad, gazab, this, that. Why do you get angry? Why do you hate somebody? Why do you envy somebody? Because he has got something more than you and you want, or you think that you are big and only you should have it and others cannot have it. You don't like the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed the material wealth in this world, or something. I mean, you are angry with Allah, or what is your problem? I mean, why do you want angry with others? Why do you want to be envy or jealous of others? So he says, if you go in behind all these things, and this is what we should be doing, and this is what we must be keeping in our mind, that look, hubbud dunya, loving this world. And he says, look, and there have been people who, in fact, many people later on, and he quotes them as well, they say, there is nothing wrong in the world, and it's good, and all these things. It's not true. So look at the Prophet, and there are lots of hadith from the Prophet, in fact from our sources as well, where he says that, I could have the mountain of Uhud converted into gold for me, but I don't want it. What I want is to feed myself one day, and to be hungry the other, so that I can thank Allah one day and beg Him for food the other. So he said, these are the things we get from our Prophet and the Prophet's family. He never preferred wealth for them. There must be something. I mean, these people are not, these are people who had the opportunity to have everything and they have left it and preferred not having to have it. So there must be something. I mean, he knew everything. He knew a lot. He is teaching us. So he knows. But poverty with the love is worse than material wealth without love. I mean, without, this is what we want. Not to love, so that we do not transgress all the bounds for the love of this world. To get some wealth, we are ready to sacrifice everything. Go and trample over everybody's right. This is what is being say that don't do it. But wealth brings this thing. And Ghazali says, at gurur, it brings even deception. You do not understand you are doing. You say, no, no, I am wealthy, but I am nice. You say, I don't do these things. I want money so that I can help the poor. I want money so that I can give in charity. I want money. But how many of us do that, even when we get wealthy? It is easy to give 100 pounds when you have 100 pounds than to give 100 million when you have 100 million, isn't it? Whereas in both cases you are giving everything you have, if you look at it that way. So he says that poverty is good. But I am not saying he is right or this is his deduction from the Islamic. What I want to convey, and as we are reviewing his book, this is his opinion. And opinion of many others who have been criticized not only for this issue. But I don't want to go in detail and give each and every hadith which criticizes the world and the worldly life and power, which is the other thing, hubbujah. This is the love for position and status and leadership in this world. But all the people who have done akhlaq or written on akhlaq, they have mentioned these things and they have gone against this thing. And in fact, they have been criticized by others that if everybody were to leave the world and power, then no wonder that only bad people will be ruling us and only bad people will be rich and we will be always in need of them. So there must be some way where the good can participate, or the society can make use of the good. They shouldn't be allowed to always go and sit in the corners. And the Sufis actually advise, and one of the things they have been criticized is that they should get themselves in a corner, leave the world, as the Christians say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's. So they have been, but Islam, as we know, doesn't sort of rule exactly like that. But when it says that you can have this world, it is also saying that there is a lot of danger in it. Don't beguile yourself. Always be aware that there is danger and you might have fallen in it. Always look at it, and that is what we say muhasiba, is to sort of look at yourself and examine yourself. Now, so many things have been given. For example, one of the hadiths which we also listen and we must sort of be aware, and just to repeat, sort of remind ourselves, one of the sahabas of the Prophet came to him and said, pray Allah that He gives me wealth. And the Prophet said, isn't it all right for you just to be like this? And so have enough. He said, no, pray. And he insisted on Allah. And the Prophet prayed for him. And then he gave him one sheep. He said, take this. And it is really, the sheep started to produce like maggots. I mean, his sheep started just producing, his flock started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he had to go out of Medina to graze them. So slowly started leaving the Jama'ah prayers, coming only on Fridays, then even leaving Friday, because it became very busy. I mean, wealth requires time. It's not, even if you give it to other people, it requires your time and you have to look after it. So then he's, because so busy, then he just forgot about this thing, coming to it. He was praying there, but he's not coming to the mosque. No. And suddenly his flock had become so big that the Prophet once sent somebody to go to this person and ask him, now we need zakat from this thing. Brother, you've got wealth, you've become wealthy, so give us. And he said, oh, when the people started complaining, this zakat is just like jizya, that is the protection tax which you take from the non-Muslims. And he said, what is this? And when they came back, and the Prophet said, this is what happens to these people. See, you do not understand that this is happening to you, which riches require your time and is taking on. That's why, for example, in the Quran also we see that those who are praised are saying, La yulhihim tijaratun aw lahun an zikrillah. The tijara, business, and lahu is any pastime, does not sort of make them heedless of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His right place. So that is what is love of the world, makes you heedless. In fact, looking at our life, we are all heedless. Sometimes coming and praying, we cannot even want to pray. I mean, it's very difficult working away the whole day for the wealth of the material life of this world. So it is very relevant in our case. Ghazali talks of rich, we are all rich here. Anybody sitting here, none of us will come to poverty as far as his definition is. We are all extremely rich, not only rich, extremely rich. So we are not talking about super millionaires, but talking about people like us. We are rich. So the only way of hitting or to combating this love, anyone in the Sharia, it's given. I mean, for example, Sakha is giving, being generous, is praised in Islam like anything. Somebody comes, give him. And more than sakha, for example, bukhl is criticized a lot. Bukhl is tight-fistedness, to be tight-fisted, to be miserly. It's criticized a lot. Now, bukhl doesn't, we must remind ourselves that bukhl in religious stuff doesn't mean not spending on yourself. It means not giving to others, not giving in religious or charities or to the poor. You may not give yourself, it's okay, you're not a bakhil if you're giving a lot to others. And in religious or charities, when I mean religious, I mean all good causes. So these are ways that even in the Sharia it's inbuilt how to sort of combat the love of this world. And apart from sakha is sort of giving, to be generous, is isar. Also isar is being praised a lot. Isar is to prefer others over yourself. In fact, in some cases, for example, it's been related. People like Imam Hassan and these people, time and time again, they used to split their wealth in half, give half away, and keep the other half. And again, when it grows, split it into half, give half away. That is, Isa, prefer others over yourself. And these things are, praise the Lord, Allah loves these people who do not. Because look at yourself, look at everything, all the vices we have said so far, then, which will come, like kibr, takabbur is arrogance. Why do you become arrogant? Why are you proud? Proud of what? Of your wealth, of your knowledge. If it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need to. In fact, it will make you mutawazi. Mutawazi is the opposite of being pride. Takabbur. Tawazu is to be humble in all respects. This is what knowledge would make you. But if your knowledge is making you proud and arrogant, then think again about this knowledge. It's something else. The likes of me cannot be matched with the likes of those. Or the likes of me don't do this. What is this? This is all arrogance, pride. Or you are proud of your color, you are proud of your race. All this is pride, part of takabbur. This is all the biggest, amongst the biggest vice. It comes from all hubbud dunya. You think, because everything is connected with the material life. I mean, nobody is proud because I, and that can be, that is part of ujab, because I pray a lot. That prayer is not prayer. That is ujab, and my prayers are something else, the best prayers. My this is the best. That is ujab, part of takabbur, to think one, everything one does is great, and the defects in oneself are small, nothing, not to be looked at. I mean, it's nothing. These are all vices, ujab, takabbur, and in fact it was shaitan's takabbur which cost him heaven. Remember, shaitan was a very good slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very great, and for one takabbur, Allah kicked him out. As in the hadith we say that anybody who does takabbur or kibriya is my property. To be arrogant and proud is my property. And if my slave wants to sort of show anything in it, I'm going to put him down. Anybody who shows takabbur in any field, I will show him in his life the opposite of it. Make him so low that he will see that this takabbur is my property. Nobody can take it from me. And the shirk, to sort of associate yourself, it is associating yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So takabbur, ujab, these things come from material. Love for this material world, nothing else. So these are all, he goes into details and said, and even, for example, showing off, riya, hypocrisy, where does it come from? You want to be hypocrite because you want something, other people to think you are good. You want to be their leader, to be in good books of them. This is all because of your worldly needs, worldly materials. So it comes from the love of the world. All these vices are stemming from this. So if you remove the world, the love of your this world from your hearts, which is not very easy, it is inbuilt, then all these vices will take care of them. But if we cannot sort of remove the love of the world in one day, so we have to take care that all the vices we are controlling them as well. As far as riya is concerned, it goes in many sort of details and saying riya can be many. Riya that is showing off, to show off, can have many stages. One of them is you do an act and your intention beginning is riya. But there are others when you have done it, nobody saw it in the middle of the night. But then in the morning you come and say, do you know what I did at this tonight? I mean, this is part of it. Shaitan is trying to beguile you. But it can only be praised. And even in the Quran, there is sort of things that if it encourages others to do good as well. For example, if you are giving in charity, then by seeing you, though you are not doing it to show others, but by openly, if I give 1,000 pounds, then people say, ah, this poor man can give 1,000, I'll give 2,000. Others will say, well, if he gives 2,000, I can afford 3,000, obviously, and so on and so forth. And they compete and they follow him in that sense. In that sense, it is good. But apart from that, or if you go for, if all of us go for, some of us sort of start early and go to the mosque for prayers, salah prayers, then others may follow and come. And so more people are coming. In this sense, to do something openly is better. Otherwise, to do any act in hidden, in the presence of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better than doing it openly. And in fact, one of modern day Mufassir, he says, when I look at the first ayah, one of the beginning ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, I say, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Most of the Mufassir say they believe in something that is unseen. He said, in the Quran, this is the only place where it says believe in the unseen. But there are many other places where this بِالْغَيْبِ is used, those who believe when nobody is watching, in seclusion. Even when they are in seclusion, they believe in Allah and they do acts which come out of their iman. So he said, because there are so many hadiths which say that this ghaib means qiyamah and all other things we haven't seen. If I were to look at the Quran only, then I would say this, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in seclusion. Even when they are away from the eyes of the gazes of people, they are believers and they believe and they do acts which are worthy of a believer, not only when they are in public. So this riya and all these things comes from hubbud dunya. We will not go further into this hubbud dunya. After this, we stop at the muhlikat. Muhlikat is the vices, and we look at the virtues, not next week, but the week after, and see what he has said about virtues, which most of them are sort of against each vice there is a virtue. For example, takabbur would have tawazu. Tawazu is humility. Takabbur, arrogance and pride. And bukhl would have sakha. If you are tight-fisted, generosity, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about generosity. And so on and so forth. So we'll bring those and see how he brings the virtue. The last thing he mentions in the book is Zambul Ghurur, that is a criticism of deception. Al Ghurur is to be deceived. And the word has been used in the Quran. Al Ghurur itself, when it's used in the Quran, it means shaitan, the master deceptor. And the world of this world is also sort of, it beguiles us. The hayat of dunya, when we look at it, we fall for it and forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are deceived by it. He goes in a very big explanation as to the world, the things that we require in this world, and everything we have got at the moment, he says, comes out of this basic necessity of mankind. To eat, to clothe oneself, and to live under a shelter, and to increase or procreate. He says, everything you take back comes back to this basicness. Now when you have them, why do you want to worry about other sophisticated things? These are the needs which everything stems from. And he's right. And if you look at any of the occupations, any industry in this world, basically you can break it down until you come to these four basic needs of human beings. And from that they have come up. And he says, if you have them already, I mean, there is no need for you to be sort of go into sophistications and sort of fool yourself with other things. You have these needs, fine. There you are. But everything can be broken down to these simple things. Needs, basic needs that man has. So do not be fooled by this world, the niceties of the world, and fall for it, and let shaitan have his way with you. Because this is what shaitan loves, that you fall for this world, and then he has a free time with you, and does what he likes. I think we'll stop here with the muhlikat, inshallah. Go with the Munjiyat next time, inshallah.